Blog Talk Radio.
Because we want to stay alive, and we certainly want to stay alive on the blessed holiday of Purim, a day which is Yom Kippur, a day where even the great day, the holy day of Yom Kippur, is likened to Purim. On Yom Kippur we fast, but on Purim we feast. But what are we feasting on aside from the good drink and food? We're feasting on words of Torah. And by the way, we just feasted on Isaac Baton's Here Comes the Time. Comes the time for love and joy, universal redemption. So, blessed souls, we didn't get to do all of our regular broadcasts this week because it was a very heavy work. We contracted and pressed together, squished together, like kind of like jelly going through the mold which goes into the donut. So we're going to try to do a little Purim show here now right before we have our festive feast. It's Don Jesse Goodman. And soul is an acronym for S70, oldest U, universal laws, the seven Noahide commandments, which you have to Google up to learn more about it. Blessed souls, we're kind of going to tease you today because we want to talk about Purim. And also this relates to the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, as we'll get to it in a minute. Anyway, let's go into it now. We're going to go into a Hasidic teaching by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which he spoke, now it's 54 years ago, Nun Dalet or Dalet Nun Shanim, in the year 5718, corresponding to 1958, the year that was surely great, when the Lubavitcher Rebbe was giving Hasidic dissertations, teachings from Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, to bring down to us. So we'll start off by saying, we got about 25 minutes to go. If you want to try to make the show a little bit more organic, make it live, you can call in at 1-347-838-8669. So let's go right into this mimer. And this is based on a Talmudic teaching in the Talmudic tractate of Megillah, Daf Zayin Amud Beis, the seventh page, the second side. Chayav Inesh libsume bepuraya adlo yada ben orahaman lavarach morachai. Lot to swallow, but those words saying is that a person is obligated to feast in the Purim Suda, and that includes the drinking of wine, until he will not be able to tell the difference between the cursed Haman and the blessed Mordechai. Now, this teaching from the Talmudic teaching is ample proof that Rebbe brought down that the essence of Purim is that we realize cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Why was Haman cursed? Well, before we get to that, blessed souls, let's remember that within this concept that we're supposed to get to a point where we do not distinguish between who is blessed and who is cursed, we have to understand that there is even a place when the level of human consciousness, as it reflects off of Torah consciousness, where one won't be able to tell the difference between who's blessed and who's cursed. Nevertheless, at the same time too, at this particular Suda, this feasting, which is called Purim, we should get to the point of realizing, by the fact we can't tell the difference between who is blessed and who is cursed, that in fact Mordechai is blessed and Haman is cursed. And joining us, although I don't know if he's going to want to talk right now, we have a special guest, but he doesn't like to be on live radio. We have Rabbi Yossi Markel. Okay, so you have to come closer to the telephone. And Rabbi, this, we have the distinct honor of having Rabbi Yossi Markel. We're just talking about this whole idea that the obligation of the Suda, the Purim Suda, where a person should get to the point where they can't tell the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. And the point is, we get to a point we don't know that eventually, the Rebbe points out here in this Maimer from Tavshin Yud Ches, that eventually we'll come to realizing that the only one who could be blessed is Mordechai and the only one who could be cursed is Haman. So we'd like to elaborate on this. And by the way, this is the same Rabbi Markel whose show, Kabbalah Pack, we've done 4 installments on. So feast blessed souls on the wisdom and chassidus of Rabbi Yossi Markel.
Yeah, basically we're talking about a total tzaddik, a total righteous person and a total evil person, Mordechai and Haman. And basically, as far as telling the difference, I never really understood what you had to tell the difference between cursed as Haman and blessed as Mordechai is exactly the same thing. It means that when you curse the bad and when you bless the good, you're basically doing two sides of the same thing, really. And the main real thing in the Megillah, as far as Haman, it's the biggest miracle is actually Haman himself, that Haman is an evil person, and yet his plots and designs are part of the Megillah, and if you take them out, there's no Megillah, actually. There's no holiness. And the same thing with Ahasuerus, but the basic thing is that the whole Megillah is actually, if you look at it very closely, it's a political story of what happened in the court of the king Ahasuerus with this queen and that queen, and Haman was one of his advisors, and he had 7 advisors, and then he raised Haman and made him the chief advisor. And it was basically a political power play, and then all of a sudden the queen came out of nowhere and she aced out Haman, and everybody saw that really it's a miracle, but part of the miracle was Haman himself. In other words, Haman's designs are the most amazing part of the miracle, in the fact that Haman, without changing, actually helped produce the miracle. And now, very soon, we're going to have Passover. Now, in Passover, there seem to be actually bigger miracles than on Purim. But actually, it says the miracles of Purim are bigger because on Pesach, you know, the water turned into blood and the sea stood up and all kinds of stuff like that. But that's breaking through nature. In other words, that it didn't act the way it was and you could see the godliness in it. But in the story of Purim, you can see the godliness in the story of Purim just the way the people were. In other words, Haman never changed. He was an evil guy all the way through, and yet his designs, his evil designs, you see that they ended up that God actually had him build his own tree to hang him up on. In other words, he actually, with his own evil design, built his own trap. And this is the biggest miracle when you can see godliness in the actual workings of the world, in the interchange between people. And we're talking about, it talks about social things, and it describes the society a little bit, and it describes the kingdom and all kinds of things like that. But the main story is pretty much a political story. So, like, almost like nowadays, people say, like, who's actually running the world, Obama or Osama? And the answer is God is running the world, actually. And with that, I'm going to give it back to Rabbi Don.
Well, Reb Don. Anyway, Yossi, listen, there was talking about that tree, that hangman's gallows that Haman had created to originally, his intention was to hang Haman. It was 50 amos. Now I saw in a place in Chassidus that actually the klipa, the side of evil, wants to get a free unique, a free nurturing directly from godliness, from God himself. And Mordechai, through his educating the Jewish children and the Jewish people whole to give over themselves with complete mysterious nefer, self-sacrifice, were able to transform that decree from Haman being hung to Mordechai. And where does his bonus tie in? Because we know that the goal of his bonus in knowing Hashem is to get to that 50th gate of Venus. We have the 50th, the hangman's
right.
Gallows was 50 almost.
Right.
I'll give, and then we have the 50th gate of Bina, which also connects to your publication, Kabbalah Packet. So please elaborate.
Right. Well, like you said, the klipa, the evil shells, want to get the influence from godliness, but without doing anything for it. In other words, they don't want to work for it. But his bonenus means that you have to sit down and work. Basically, you have to sit down and study this information and go over it. And it's very hard stuff. You know, it's you have to sit down and concentrate and study it over a few times. So it's not like you're getting a free ride. What Dan was talking about, that they want to get to the 50th level, in other words, his bonenus, like we said, if you look in chapter 1, his bonenus is with two nuns, Shah HaNun. Nun is the 50th gate. And this refers to the 50th gate of Bina, of the Sephira, of the divine attribute of understanding. And basically, to get to the 50th level of understanding can only be done by going through understanding the actual explanations of Hasidus. You can't just do it by just jumping up and getting some light from above without doing the work, which is what they want to do. Here.
So, Rabbi Makel Yossi, let's talk about how people can get access to this Torah, which most people perceive as being impossible to access through the learning of Kabbalah Packet. And why don't you talk about your website and the options they have and how they can purchase your seminal work, which is connected to bringing the redemption in a peaceful, pleasant manner.
Okay, I don't happen to have the URL. I think you have the URL somewhere for the 7-inch, the 7x10-inch book.
Yeah.
That's as far as buying the book, and I think we gave some kind of a discount, so if they put in the discount numbers,
right.
I can't remember what were the prices.
Well, the one we were offering was a $37
discount, so it's $26 was the final price, right?
Right.
Okay, that's as far as the actual book. However, everything is available online for free. And if you need a hard copy, you can get the book over there, and it's called The Kabbalah Packet by Rabbi Yossi Markel. If you want to just read it online, or first of all take a look at what it is you'll be buying in the book, you go to thewellsprings.org. That's thewellsprings. .org. I think I said .com before. It's .org. thewellsprings.org. Over there, most of the book is what's over there called the New Improved Kabbalah Series. However, if you go to thewellsprings.org, there's also a... if you go to thewellsprings.org, there is also some audio. There's a whole audio series that pretty much parallels the book. The chapters of the audio series are the same chapters as the book. And the audio series is very unique in that you don't really have to work hard. You just listen to it a few times. I personally think it's easier than reading a book, although some people like books better. But you actually have both of them. You have the audio and the book. So, and then there's a few other things there you can explore the site. But the main thing on the site is the new improved Kabbalah series and the audio. And there's also a beginner's text series over there. And it's all on the side. And there's also, when you go to the audio, there is also a beginner's audio series. There's also an audio series on trust in God.
Okay, we're just trying to pull up this create space. Since we're in the spirit of Purim again, we want to try to help people understand that they can access ultimately very high levels of understanding, not by being Kabbalists, but by just learning of Torah. The idea, perhaps you can review for us the whole concept of meditation, is bonus.
Well, actually, what you said, not by being Kabbalist, actually, it's actually they will be Kabbalists. That's the whole thing. The whole thing is that in the time of the Messiah, everyone will know the Kabbalah and will be great Kabbalists. Not only the Jews, but even the non-Jews will keep the seven commandments of Noah, and they will all be very big Kabbalists, and that's all they will do all day long is learn Kabbalah and Hasidus, which is the inner level of Kabbalah, which Kabbalah is the secrets of the Torah, and Hasidus is the secrets of the secrets. Obviously not when you first start learning it. We're talking about as the Messianic age goes along. We're just barely starting, as the Rebbe said, the Messianic age. And one of the main things of the Messianic age is that this kind of knowledge becomes available to everybody. And this kind of knowledge also opens up a lot of other fields. A lot of the fields that have been opened up is according to what it says in Zohar, that when this knowledge will open up, all the other things, like, for instance, the thing of programming with languages, that's in Kabbalah. It's the whole thing that Kabbalah says is that God programmed the world with a language, and the world is programmed on a 3D matrix. So, I mean, this is all in Kabbalah, and it came out, same thing with Freudian psychology. It's another thing that Freud was interested in Kabbalah and got a lot of his ideas out of Kabbalah. And most of the modern sciences, like, you know, the amazing revelation that light and matter are interrelated, this is all in Kabbalah a long, long time ago. Even the whole concept of lights and vessels that how we see now, that's exactly how the atom works. These are lights that are held together from spreading apart by vessels, and if you break the vessels, there's an explosion of this energy that was held together by these vessels. And every, like, physical item is really made out of intense light, and this is basically exactly what it says in Kabbalah, that this is all made out of the light of God. You know, so really, by studying this one book, they might not be Kabbalists immediately, but it'll get the world on the road to being Kabbalists.
Something we tried to cover before, that the idea that one of the essential matters of Purim is that there was a thought of Haman to do not just to kill Mordechai, but to destroy the Jewish people in the story of Purim. And there was a nullification of the, what's called Nisbatla Machshevet Haman. And again, this goes back to the idea that Haman wanted to make this 50 amos is, I guess, around 200-foot gallows, which is about 10 stories high. But one thing that Haman didn't take into consideration is that in him trying to access godliness, that the patriarch of Israel, Abraham, had already planted a tree. And the idea of planting a tree here in this maimer, just boiling it down to a very superficial understanding because we just don't have enough time to cover this whole entire matter, is that Abraham had planted a tree in Beersheba, and from that tree, which is called in the Torah Eshel, which is made up of the three Hebrew letters of Aleph and Shin and Lamed, it alludes to a type of hospitality, Achila Shtil and Lina, where Abraham would give food, he would give drink, and he would give even lodgings for those who were passing by. And I've been to Beersheba once in my life, and it's a very hot area. It's basically a gateway into the desert, leading ultimately to the Arabian desert. And there as well, Abraham was offering meditations. And basically, back then, who was he offering his meditations to? There were no Jewish people back then, aside from him and Sarah, Imeno, the matriarch Sarah, but to Arabs. So the way of Israel is designed that it should be a place of hospitality and a place of meditation, not a place of destruction, not of people lobbing missiles into Israel. And we know that Abraham was a great meditator. So there's nothing really new, you'll see, about the idea of meditation. It really goes back to the original condition of human beings, that human beings were meant to be meditators. So how do you think that when people start to look into a Kabbalah packet and these teachings of Shaar Yuchud, which are basically his works, Kabbalah packet, but so that they are translating the works from Hebrew, and some of it's in Yiddish, little bits of it, that we can restore the original condition of human beings to be thinking, conscious beings.
Yeah, when you said meditation before, meditation is not quite enough. You have to know what to meditate on. And the thing is that there's all kind of meditations with all kind of religions. Everybody tells you to meditate on different things. And basically, the Jewish religion, and therefore also the Noahide religion, says that what you have to meditate on is the Seder Hishtashlus, the how the light comes down from the infinite light down to here. In other words, how the world comes out of nothing. And so that you should be able to understand how the world is created ex nihilo, out of nothing, at every second. And once you see that, then there's no question of God controlling the world, because he basically makes it come into existence every second. So also, like the whole idea of miracles. I mean, are there miracles? I mean, what do you mean? It's like a cartoon almost. He makes it come into existence every second. It could come the next second. He can make it a different way. But he doesn't. He keeps it in a continuation, like somebody's making a cartoon. Doesn't stick in a crazy thing. But, and again, this is what the miracles show us. The miracles show us that there's somebody running this whole show that's happening down here. In other words, this whole story, like one of the things with Purim, with the Megillah, is it says you're not supposed to read it like before, like it's something that happened in the olden days. It's a story that's still going on. In other words, the story that's going on right now is still being controlled by God. And it's, even though it might look like really bad, like how it looked for the Jews in those days, actually it's really good, because the Messiah is coming any minute and it's all set up for that.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, Rabbi Markel has to go off to shul. I'm just going to wind up by saying, one second, so you daven, I daven already, so go daven and just come back, okay? Then we'll start the suda. Anyway, I want to wish everyone a wondrous Purim, whether you will be Jew or... hold on. Well, Shki, one second. Shki is not for a while, I mean...
Okay.
Shki is not, I mean, you'll definitely have a minute. Well, hold on, bless those. Shkia is at 5:49. I mean, you got like almost 50 minutes.
Okay.
So at 5 o'clock, you'll have the minion, and then come back. You'll be back at like 5:25. I'm here. So anyway, we just want to invite everyone to consider these thoughts. We, you know, that this is the way the Most High plans it. I plan on giving a straight sort of terse presentation of this maimer of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and then out of a Shekhacha Pratis, Divine Providence. Rabbi Markel came on the scene and elaborated on his wonderful Kabbalah packet. I just want to tell you how you can get it again. Okay. You can call, you can go to www.thewellsprings.org. And also, we have perhaps now another surprise guest, our Noahide Chassid, Ron Williams. Hey, Ron. Ron, come. Come. Ron, I did it again. We're concluding a brief presentation. So I'd like you to give a little, just a little off-the-cuff meditation on significance of Purim to you. So now that I've trapped you in the house, you get...
By the way, I'm on either three. I've got to remember to get back.
Okay, don't worry. So, Ron, give some thoughts and reflections on the significance of Purim for a son of Noah.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. This is a radio show.
Oh, gosh. For a second, I thought I was actually on a telephone call. But my thoughts on Purim. Well, one thing I can say is I read something recently that was very refreshing. It says that before the darkest time before the sunrise is like an hour approximately before sunrise, it's the darkest. And in Jewish history, at this time, it appeared to be the darkest. But as we all know, the Creator works in mysterious ways. And whenever the time is its most darkest, it actually shines its brightest when it shines. And we can see from the entire story of Purim that things are not always as quiet as it seems, and it's to me personally, it's a story of hope where we should never give up hope in the Creator that He can turn things around for us, regardless of our situation. And so that's my thoughts on Purim.
Yeah, and hopefully we will entrap again Ron this coming Sunday on In Search of Authentic Torah in show 152, 153. This is Don's coming, wishing everyone a wonderful Purim. We're going to end off with Soon Will Come the Day by Achi David Dom, who will help us get home to, in fact, help us realize that it's not a dream. Our Tzelem Elokim, our divine image, to help us get off the scrimmage to make it a better world right now, pleasantly and peacefully. Purim Sameach. Happy Purim, everyone.
crushing out the hatred of gather, and the day is gonna come.